Welcome to our Domestic Violence Outreach Podcast Test. We are here today with Anne-Marie Finger and Catherine Foley. My name is Rachel Honer, and I'll be your host asking some questions today as we look at what our families are doing in the era of COVID-19. We know that families continue as a mutual ministry to each other, no matter what happens, but we also know that there are some things that come up because of the situation that our society is in today, because of the shutdown of different sectors of the economy, because of the stress that people are feeling these days, and because of the very uncertainty of what is happening next in terms of will we be shut down, will things reopen. And we are talking today with our expert panelists who will be sharing about their impact on their families due to the pandemic. So let's start with our first question. The first question is, what changes in your family's routines have you seen since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic? And Anne-Marie, why don't we start with you sharing your thoughts on what those changes have been?
Yes, thank you for having me on, Rachel.
You're very welcome.
Actually, the family routine changed as soon as the sequestration started, with two of our family members working from home. That left two children who were not in school any longer and whose parents could not really help them with the online learning. So the routine became that the grandchildren would come down with down to our place. They live right upstairs. And if they had gotten up a little late, we would give them breakfast. And then we started with the schoolwork, which went on for the better part of the day. So that was quite an adjustment, but I can't say I didn't enjoy it. We all enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you, Anne-Marie. And Catherine, what are your thoughts on these changes in your family?
Thanks, Rachel. So similar to Anne-Marie, we've had some impacts in our family from working at home schedules. Ours have actually been and homeschooling schedules. We've had a college age student who came home when his college was closed. We also had another student who was overseas who came home from her overseas studies. And so we had everyone in the house either working or studying from home, which made for some challenges in terms of finding workspace and keeping quiet during work hours, when some people had some more flexibility than others. But it's definitely been an exercise in collaboration during the period of working from home and studying from home.
Catherine, it's interesting that you use the word collaboration. That's something that's difficult in the workplace, and of course something that's vital to the working of a family. In dealing with that challenge of collaboration, that kind of brings us to our next topic, which is changes in the family's dynamics. If you're looking at facing the challenge as needing more collaboration, does that mean that there has been some leadership in getting that collaboration together? Has it been more of a collegial attitude of let's sit down and make a plan of how we can share this space together? Or how is this affecting your family dynamics?
Yeah, so that's been very interesting to observe because we have some very different personalities in the family. Some that are very, very structured and like to be very planned and organized and kind of stick to the letter of the plan. We have others in the family that are very flexible and are more comfortable with fluidity in their schedule. So that has been something that we've had to navigate fairly carefully. But it has helped each one of the family members to get a better appreciation of the value that the other perspectives bring. So those that are more flexible can see the value in the kind of more stricter discipline, and that those that have the more stricter discipline can also see the value and benefit of being a little bit more flexible. Not without some effort, mind you. It certainly took some effort to see the value and kind of get through the lens that, everyone was kind of typically used to seeing through, and being able to see the value of the other person's perspective.
Anne-Marie, has flexibility been the challenge for you as well, or what issues have you seen in the family dynamic changes?
Oh, yes. Flexibility, especially when you're dealing with children. They are 7 and 11. You have to be flexible. But normally speaking, their dad and I would meet on Sundays, and we'd map out the schedule for the week ahead. And with kids, you really do need that structure. And if you want to accomplish anything on an educational level, you have to have a schedule, because the teachers are asking that certain work be turned in by a certain day, et cetera. And so, and as a teacher, I'm used to working on a schedule. So it was a bit of a challenge sometimes if the kids didn't get up for when they were supposed to, or if they took too long in the shower, or any of these things, it set us back a little bit. And really, the key is flexibility, absolutely. And I hear what Catherine is saying, that is so true, especially if you are working from home and this job is your livelihood, and there are certain expectations of your work from your employer. And that really, in our house, came first. So we worked around the schedule of those who were working at home, and what created the least amount of stress for them. And the kids would come down to us, my husband and I would work with them. So it was an adjustment, definitely an adjustment. But in the end, it worked out pretty well.
You know, as someone who does not have kids but is trying to plan for how family life will be impacted by, for example, online religious education programs, I'm so interested by this idea of what is doing the leading in determining what that family schedule looks like. Is it more that, you know, the parents' work schedule determines, you know, what help the kids can ask for, you know, during the day? Or is it the kids' school schedule that the parents are then scheduling their meetings or their work Zooms around? I wonder if you would be able to speak to that as well.
Well, the fact that we had multiple devices, tablets, computers, and so on. So the children's parents both worked from home, and they each had their own device. And then the children needed it to do the e-learning part of it. And you didn't have to adjust schedules from that standpoint, at least. But the children could not expect help from the parents except when they went up for lunch, because everybody took a little break then. But normally you can't. What really drives the schedule is the fact that you have parents working and you have children who are expected to be online, perhaps with a teacher, or perhaps watching a video that has been assigned to them, and they have to get that done by a certain time. So, you know, there were multiple factors. Luckily, my husband and I are retired. So, again, flexibility was helped by the fact that we were free to help the kids.
And Catherine, did you find it working the same way in your family? I'm not sure about the ages of your kids, whether you think it would be different with, you know, having even younger children in the household.
Yeah, I think Anne-Marie was in with her background and her husband's background in teaching, were really the ideal grandparents in this situation.
Yeah,
and it's yeah, it's a pity that not everyone is as fortunate. Certainly with younger children, where you've the children have less ability to structure themselves. They really respond to structure kind of being imposed for them or created for them. So in the absence of a third party who can help while the parents are working, I think it would be very, very challenging. Fortunately, in our circumstances, our, you know, children are older and they're all self-directed. So that's helpful. But even in that instance, you still have the lack of a formal structure that an educational environment provides. So the temptation to, say, play video games versus do study is definitely there. And parents need to help the student course correct when they're allocating their time, you know, unwisely, let's say.
Well, that's your opinion.
Right.
Yeah, that is always an issue, because that's such a temptation. Video games, you know, they didn't have those 100 years ago, so it was a totally different scenario. But yeah, those rules had to be established at the beginning of every day. A little reminder: no, you're not doing video games until, usually it was 4 o'clock, and they could. But you know, if there was downtime, and I was helping one child, and the other one was working on an assignment, all of a sudden I'd look over and there'd be a video game going. Oh, well, we had to, yes, redirect, we'll say. Yeah, it's a common problem, I know.
Yeah. So with all of these stresses and balls in the air, I'm wondering what our parish communities can do to support families during this time. You know, what do you think would have been helpful to be available in the spring when all of this stuff was getting put in place all of a sudden, and what things could be maybe developed to help more on an ongoing basis?
Interesting. You know, I know one thing, people do miss the socialization, and I think sometimes the parish could set up some, let's say Zoom meeting with different parishioners, perhaps those who are in the same group, in this kind of, we have, for instance, a women's group at church. It would be nice to have a video meeting or Zoom meeting with them, just to stay in touch. Things like that, I think, are very important.
I think that's a really good point, Anne-Marie. I know a couple of years ago, I was involved in I'm going to call it a Bible study, but it was kind of like a scripture study, I guess, over the period of Lent, which was a small group study. And I think there were maybe five of us, I think. And of course, at the time, we were meeting in each other's homes and going through the scripture. But what a wonderful connection point to have via Zoom. And I think that's something that the, you know, the parish could organize. And it would also help keep people very connected to the church. The online masses have been wonderful and a great way to stay connected to the church and with attend mass virtually. But I think to Anne-Marie's point, there you do miss the socialization. And in that small group environment, even if you're meeting via Zoom, I think that would actually be a great support to the parish.
You know, something else that I have discovered is because I have a Zoom group that I meet with Fridays at 7 p.m. and I host it, and I never fail to have it because there are always people who want to talk to everybody. And so what I have found in doing this is that people who are not used to, let's say, technology in general, you know, even though it's been around, all these things that we have access to have been around for quite a while, they're not comfortable with it. And so you say you're having a Zoom meeting and you're going to be able to communicate with your friends and actually see them, then now they have to learn how to navigate Zoom. And to me, that is a real gift to them. You take them through this step. So I have three friends. This has happened with each one of them separately. I have to take them through Zoom, how to connect, how to sign on, how to access it when the meeting is starting, and then have practice session. This is how we use it. We'll just have a three-person Zoom meeting, and then I prevail upon a friend to take part in the meeting, and then I walk the participant through all the steps, and it is very stressful. It's very stressful for them until they get it. And when they get it, it's wow, it's wonderful. They love it. And then they're much less apt to respond if we have issues with the Zoom connection. They're much less apt to get all upset with it, for instance. So I think that's another advantage. And I think if you have parish meetings through Zoom, you can do the same thing with group members you are including.
Now, Anne-Marie, your experience with the Friday night Zoom really echoes what our experience has been at Queen of Angels with our senior club in getting the seniors online for Zoom meetings or Zoom movies. And I really think that has been helpful in keeping helping the club limp along during these times. Catherine, your experience of, you know, that small faith community that was built in through that Lenten scripture study and the contrast of, you know, the interactivity there versus the experience of going to Mass, I think speaks to online Mass gives us like a vertical connection, both, you know, spiritually with God and with our parish leadership, our priests. A sense of coming together in community, but yeah, the idea of doing like a Zoom social or a small faith group that would meet on Zoom would certainly help with the horizontal of relating to other members of the community. And I can see that would be very helpful for families to be able to offer that.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank you guys for being here on our panel. And if you have any questions, you can certainly contact our domestic violence ministry to get in contact with Anne-Marie or with Catherine, who've been here together with us today. We hope that you will stay tuned for further developments from our domestic violence committee. And we want you to know that you are all in our prayers during this time of COVID-19. And that we want to stand with you in the challenges that you and your family are facing during this very unprecedented time. So with that, we want to say farewell and thank you to all of our listeners, but thank you especially to our panelists, Catherine and Andrew.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.